It's a mini episode.
Hello and welcome to another mini-sode of You Gotta Check This Out with Mike and Dre. I'm the Mike. Much of David Bell's episode was spent talking about the movies he shows to gainfully unemployed patrons every Friday. I included some of those conversations, as well as more Babylon 5, Deep Space Nine comparisons that didn't make the main episode. We begin with Dre in his natural element, plugging for the guest. I'll see you at the other end.
Over at Gamefully Unemployed, patreon.com, Gamefully Unemployed, one of the best bets for your money on the internet, one of your bonus features is for $10 a month, you have movie night. And this encapsulates an oeuvre that I feel this show has as well. This era of a bunch of people with a shared resource, a TV in a dorm room or something, where you're all watching the same thing and it doesn't have to be good or even well thought out ahead of time. And your movie nights over at Gamefully Unemployed on the Discord server, you stream it, a bunch of people watch, you have certain people on mic, people in the chat, and you know, we're all just watching sometimes good stuff, sometimes horrible stuff. And this seemed up that alley of, you know, this is the worst episode of Babylon 5. And it might just be revenge, Dave, because sometimes you put some amazing stuff up. Sometimes you put so bad it's good stuff. And sometimes you put the what the hell did you just put in front of my face on movie night? I think Dunstan checks in as one. I watched that, Dave.
I don't remember us watching that. I usually blank out most of the movie night experiences. They just, you know, for my own mental protection, I guess. I don't know. We try to watch different things. That's the thing is, you get to a point where you're like, we could watch Time Cop again, but we're always kind of striving to do something, a new movie, at least one every movie night. And so that means we're going to have to reach into some dregs, you know what I mean? It's just over time, we're running out of movies, or we're running out of fun movies. So at this point, we do them so much. It's just often like, usually the way we conceive movie night is me and Tom text each other that day and just throw out movies we remembered that often we don't see. And yeah, a lot of them are real farts. There's no telling, you know, but
yeah, I figured it was off the cuff like that. Cause usually on Hypecast, there's at least one time during the podcast, we're like, oh yeah, we should do that for movie night. So I figured that's just how you figure stuff out, random conversations.
We try to have fake like themes. We try to have a mysteries themes of the two. Sometimes we get complicated about it, but yeah, I mean, me and Tom were doing that before we had this podcast. Like when we were working at Cracked, we just, you know, it's like you said, like it's the dorm room feeling of, yeah, let's all get together and throw on a movie or two. And just see, you know, go through streaming and just randomly pick something out that we haven't seen before or we feel like watching and seeing how good or bad it is. So it's a blast to be able to do that, you know, just with a group of people and get to torture as many people as we can. It's fun.
A thing that it brings back that is really hard, like especially as adults, it's really hard to do those things. Mike and you and I were even talking pre-show about this, where I used to, when I was in Central Time, have more time for movie nights. I've moved to Mountain Time. That makes it a little harder. And that's a classic thing with adults. It's hard to schedule things. But the key thing is we're watching this together. It doesn't need to be good or bad. It's about community. And it's like people you like hanging out with. Between me and Mike, me less so, one of us is able to make movie nights a little more regularly, and I just enjoy them. And that was why, Mike's like, why did you? So I'm like, this is almost movie nightish, and this is almost revenge for, I missed the frog. I was busy on Friday, but I just saw what you were talking about. Yeah, apparently you showed grainy footage in the 70s of frogs.
Frogs is a horror movie about frogs that kill people, which is a great idea. And then you watch the movie and you're like, oh, right. This was made in a time where you can't have a CGI frog flying around. Like, it's the frogs don't really kill people. It's more like people keep dying around frogs. And it's just like kind of a slog where it's like, it's one of those movies where this is called Frogs and it's about killer frogs. Why isn't this the most famous movie ever? And then you watch it and you go, oh, I see why. Yeah, like, obviously, like we would know if this is a good movie.
You could only train an actual frog to do so much, so you'd expect like a lot of puppet frogs coming out of nowhere or something, or people dying around that. But yeah,
it just doesn't go. It's just not enough. It's not enough. It's got Sam Elliott, but it's not enough. He's very young.
Again, this is super meta because it's like the Babylon 5 show. Like Babylon 5, well-known sci-fi show. Harlan Ellison, as an example, is a regular writer. You've got Freddy Krueger as a guest star, and you're like, this should be amazing. And you're like, oh. No.
No.
The movie night is one. And the other, I think it's fair to say you're a pretty good horror fan. In fact, I'll give this shout out. If you head over to Game 3 Unemployed, I'm going to keep pitching. That's the thing I do with any guest and even our stuff, Dave. So I'll definitely do that. You have an 80 or 90% hit rate, I want to say, where if you suggest a horror movie on like a We Just Watched or a Hypecast kind of thing, if it sounds all right to me, I'll tell my wife, who's a bigger horror fan than me, and like, we've loved them. Like, one of the biggest surprises I do have to give a shout out to is A Triangle, which you watched as a joke. Like, burrito, oh, yeah. Shout out. He pitched it as a joke. That is an amazing, like, that's...
Yeah, that movie's great. I mean, it varies person to person. I'm sure there's someone listening has the opposite experience with me or something. But I'm also like, I'm really forgiving about horror. Like, it's just my favorite genre. So I will watch the worst horror movie ever and still get something out of it, you know?
I want to stay here for a little bit because of your Deep Space Nine connection. Because Deep Space Nine, as I understand, right, has this Captain Sisko. Big deal. Awesome dude.
Yeah.
And he is A to Z, right? And he has this huge arc that goes from the beginning to the end. And I still need to watch it and not get it spoiled, so I know the overviews. But he was a direct comparable to Sinclair on Babylon 5. You just saw this episode. You may notice there is no Sinclair. War Without an End was two episodes prior to this, and it wrapped up Sinclair's arc. And years later, we discovered the actor Michael O'Hare, who played Sinclair, had major issues. So imagine if on Deep Space Nine, the actor who played Sisko had a health issue that had him have to drop in the middle of season two.
Yeah, it's basically a form of dementia where he kept seeing like psychological things, and at the same time, he was an actor as a space captain. So it must have been crazy for him doing this.
That is wild. Like, without spoiling DS9, there are actor changes along the way. There are, because it is, again, it's serialized, but it's still, you know, I think 7 seasons. Mm-hmm. And so shit does happen, and it weirdly, like, the behind the scenes is enraging about that event, but it's conveniently kind of built into the plot in a way. But to lose like someone like that so early in, I mean, that reminds me of TNG, because they lose Crusher for season two and they replace her with another mm-hmm. doctor. And then they just kind of bring her back and pretend like nothing happened. There's always all these weird stories about that where it's usually deeply misogynist. It's usually around a actress getting pregnant. I think of Gillian Anderson. She was potentially going to be replaced in the X-Files. Yeah. And it's ridiculous to see, yeah, what kind of a disaster that would be. Like, to do that, where it's also Voyager actually had a similar thing to what you're describing, where an actress just sort of had kind of mental issues and she left the show, I think season three or something, but it's never been like the captain, you know, like the character is supposed to ground it all. And I can see that kind of really rattling a show where it's like, what do you do after that? You just have to kind of hope that people will stay on board, especially when you have this, like you're describing Babylon 5 as being this big planned out thing. That's the thing about TV, right? I think that's why these days they like doing these like 6-episode seasons, because they're like, listen, we can film it all at once. We don't have to like, we won't lose an actor. Mm-hmm. Like it's more contained. It's easier for this serialized model. I get what they're trying to do, because I feel like TV, it's a lot harder to recast people like mid-season or between seasons or something like that. Right,
that's what Dre was talking about, because in the World Without End two-part was actually how they got Sinclair back to wrap up that entire storyline that was meant to be the full 5-season arc.
Yeah,
so he kind of had to like pull pieces of it out to extend certain things out and wrap things up earlier. But I mean, part of the enjoyment of Babylon 5 is knowing all that behind the scenes stuff, going back and watching it too.
A question I should ask at the top of this, is this more of a Twilight Zone in space, or is this more like fantasy in space? Is it?
Yes.
Well,
sorry.
I guess like in the sense that what are they exploring? What is like their most heady thing they explore, or are they more into like how these species like kind of interact and the politics between them? Because this felt like the latter.
Yeah, it's definitely like the thrust of the entire series is politics. Almost, it almost reminds me of the Star Wars prequels in that it's all about how a democratic, you know, neoliberal system comes and kind of grows, entrenches in power, and then something else rises up, which is some kind of fascism to take over. And that's really the general thrust, is how do you deal with a democratic society that turns to fascism? And what do you do when that happens? Okay. That's kind of like the overall structure.
But to your follow-up question on the Twilight Zone in space, so as an example, they had Harlan Ellison as a frequent collaborator. So they do have these one-off like ideas that will show up that is clearly the writer had an idea. Yeah, he even said this, like, hey, the idea of a haunted house in space was fun to me. Right. So it's very interesting in that. And when they're done well, it's an awesome episode because you're like, oh, this idea about what happens if there is a plague in space versus, oh, we also have to advance the plot line about this big war, whereas this one where it just stands out. So you are absolutely right on like the noticing the Twilight Zone-ish aspect in this episode being very jarring. This is a running bit on this show, that You Gotta Check This Out show, where one of us, usually me, notices a problem, and usually the guest is, what about this? And we work it out together. This episode is very funny in that multiple times you have tried to fix it, and me and Mike are like, no,
it's like, not even fixing it. It's just out of context. It's fine, you know, because an inconsistency isn't inconsistent if it's the only data point. That's all. This is my only data point for this show. So I'm like, all right, this is my baseline for Babylon 5. All other episodes will be judged based off this episode.
Oh, nowhere to go but up. Unless you watch, let's make him watch TKO next, Mike. Don't tell him.
Yeah, next time TKO
is really good.
David Christopher Bell. Yeah, if I were to recommend an episode as opposed to this one, I would say to anybody, start with Signs of Importance from the first season, because that's the one episode of Babylon 5 where everything is really established in a good way. Like all of the storylines are kind of set up, even the stuff you've missed for the first 9 episodes, which are all kind of Monster of the Week episodes, don't really get into the overarching 5-season plot until that one begins. So opposite of that, I want to ask you a question, David. Can you recommend any episodes of Star Trek? Doesn't have to be Deep Space Nine, that listeners you think should check out if they wanted to check out like a Star Trek series.
Okay. So not in relation to this one, like correct. Not in the sense yeah. I mean, pilots, right? Start from the top. I mean, TNG, DS9, they both, it's hard because DS9, there's kind of this thing where it's like you want to start from the top, but then they do a few like bottle episodes where they do some silly stuff and then it sort of kind of reasserts itself. Like you can see that slow where they're like, some episodes will end with to be continued 3 times in a row until they suddenly realize we don't even have to put that. We don't even have to put to be continued. People will just assume. So it's still like kind of old sensibilities of TV moving into the new. But those are both shows in terms of, you know, The Inner Light is seen as the best TNG episode. And I do think that's an episode you can throw on to watch like a very good kind of short story that you don't need context for. I would say that one, Measure of a Man, obviously, is like a hit. Although Measure of a Man, I think, doesn't hit as hard as people realize if you're not a fan. But it's still like a good way to get the vibe of the show. That's what I've always told like Cody, because Cody hasn't seen TNG. Deep Space Nine, it's harder because it's not, again, it's not the X-Files. Like the X-Files, you can say, oh, again, the X-Files, watching first season, you're like, shit, you can just start at episode one. But going back to Deep Space Nine, it's serialized. So there's less of a case of like their bottle episodes don't feel like they're as like representative of the show and what makes it good as opposed to Star Trek or exposed to TNG rather.
So what you're saying is go back and watch the one where they go back and see the Tribbles in the original series, right?
That is fun. I would say if you want like their silly bullshit, there's a Move Along Home. That's their, and that's one where they encounter space gamers. There's, I think it's In the Cards. That one's like a weird Hardy Boy episode where Jake, that's the captain's son, goes on this adventure to find a baseball card. Of course, there's the baseball episode where they play baseball against Vulcans. But again, like those are all kind of like fun and silly, but they don't really represent the show the way you could pick out a episode of a mid-season episode of TNG. So like for DS9, it sort of just start at the top, just start at the first episode. For TNG, I'd say, yeah, like Measure of a Man or Inner Light or something like that, one of the real hits. But again, you could just start. It's hard because TNG is even worse, where you're like, the first couple seasons are kind of rough, like where it's like they don't really know what they are yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone watched a random season one and was like, I hated it, I'd be like, yeah, I understand.
Yep. Yeah, it's the same with Babylon 5, which if anybody asks, I'll just tell them to go right to that episode 9, which is another big difference than Star Trek, where you'd definitely tell people to start at the top. I wouldn't tell people to start at the top of Babylon 5.
Interesting. I didn't think season 1 was as bad, but again, there's a lot of weird context.
Recording this episode with Dave was kind of an honor. I've been listening to him for years and can honestly recommend everything he and Tom do over at Gamefully Unemployed. You should definitely check him out. We don't usually ask, but if you enjoy the show, please like and subscribe. And if you have any friends looking for a way to ease into Babylon 5, please let them know about us. Cheers, all.
A really hard thing as a creator is to cut out good things that don't help the overall plot. Mike, as a podcast editor, is amazing at this. Good directors, people like James Cameron, I'm bringing up Alien references very explicitly because that'll come up, are really good at this.
I'm all about cutting the shit.
JMS had an AMA recently that I didn't put anything for, because I didn't have any, like, what I would have considered new questions on Reddit. If he does another one, I am going to ask if, like, standards and practices told him he wasn't allowed to fire a gun. I would buy that. I would have bought that he wrote the entire thing. He's going to shoot him with his gun, and they're like, you can't use a gun. And he's like, what do I do? I will stress, please tell me this makes the final edit, Mike. Yes, he could have used the bullet in the puppet head. That makes sense. That is a line that was uttered on this show. I hope it stays in the final cut.